You are here. You've always only ever been here. You've never been in your past. You've never been there. And you've never been in your future. You've always only ever been here. The problem is, so few people do here well. They live defined by something that happened to them before. Maybe it was painful, or maybe it was glorious. Maybe it was like this accomplishment that they knew they were never going to rival an accomplishment like that again. And so they live defined by their past. And some people live defined by their future hopes, their future dreams, where they will be when. And they believe that their life will start when when they get that accomplishment, when they get that job, when they get that relationship, then and only then will their life begin. I mean, it's fine, it's great, it's important to have goals and dreams. I have hopes, I have goals, I have dreams, but my life doesn't begin when I arrive at this moment. See, what happens if you live hoping and that your life will begin when you get there is you'll get there, and the there won't be there anymore. It will be here. And the thing about here is you get used to being here. And so the thing that you wanted, the person you wanted to be, the person you wanted in your life, the level of accomplishment that you knew that when your life was going to begin when you got there, it'll be your new here. And you'll be accustomed to it. And then instead of doing here well then, you'll have a new there. Yes, but when my life gets to that point, then my life will begin. And so, how do we do here well? You can't be in your past. And honestly, like if you had the chance to go back and change like one or two things from your life, what would those one or two things be that you changed? Or let's say this a different way. Let's say you could go back, you could go there, and when you were there, and you weren't changing things, but you were looking at the things that help shape you into who you are when you are here. And as you're here, looking back at there, and the two or three things, like were there moments in your life when you were this person before, and this person after, and there was this moment, it shaped you. It was like a line of demarcation, like you were this person before and this person after. And are there, from here, moments there that help shape who you are today? And the thing about those moments is when they were happening, you probably felt like they were binary. They were either good or they were either inherently bad. But as you've gotten here, looking back at there, you realize that they're not necessarily good or bad. It was just steps along the way that got you here. And so it's hard to believe this, it's even harder to say it, but maybe even the things you wish you could change become almost good. You become almost thankful for them, because when you were there, it brought you here. But for some of us, the there that we wish we could go back to, it's because we accomplished something great back then. I mean, there was some accomplishment, there was something going on, and we knew that that was our moment of glory for our life. Yes, you made the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs. We get it. We've heard the story before, right? Some of you will get that later. All right, so, but you live in this moment where like, man, that glory I had then, if only. And so we live our life there instead of here. We give our voice there. The thing about our past, the thing about pain and shame, is if we don't bring it to light, if we don't give it a voice, if we don't articulate what's happened, it's still in there somewhere. And the thing about stuff we try and shove down and act like it's not in there, is it will eventually come out, and it has this tendency to come out at the least opportune times. So whatever it is that happened there, you either give it light, you give it voice, you articulate it, or it's still in there somewhere. But you can't be there because you are here. Although you can't be here. I mean, you can't be in your future. You can't be the person that you will be. The thing about our dreams is when we live life marked by our dreams and only our dreams, then we forget to do today well. We don't realize that it is today that causes us to eventually get there. And so we plan and we hope and we dream. But if we don't do here well today, we will never get there. Have you ever seen someone and they are able to make noises with their voice and they're able to sing songs in such beautiful ways, and you're like, oh my goodness, I wish I could sing like that person. How awesome would it be if I could sing like Eric, right? You know, or John, or any of the people who sing here, like, man, like I am not as talented as that person. I could never accomplish with that person. Or maybe it's like you read a book and the words are so inspiring. Or someone gives a speech and it meets you to your core. Or whatever it is that you value about yourself, chances are there's someone who is astronomically more gifted at that thing than you are. And so you see yourself and you see that person and you think, man, my future, it can't possibly go anywhere good because I'm not as fill in the blank as that person. And so you play the comparison game with that person. And you play this game of like, man, I couldn't ever possibly accomplish. But you think about who you want to be when you get here. And you think about the things that you want to accomplish in your future. And the thing is, oftentimes the things we want to accomplish with our future, when we get there, it's the house, it's the job, it's the six-pack abs, it's the relationship. But those things aren't the things that happened here that made us who we are today, right? Like the things we hope for in the future for our jobs and our relationships and our, you know, our bank accounts are not the things that shaped us when we were there. And so if they're not the things that shaped us when we're there to who we are today, but they're the things we hope for our tomorrow, then why is it that we hope those things are our future? Like, what is it about us where we're at today that makes us want those things when those things aren't the things that got us here? We look back and there are painful things that made us who we are today, but we never want the painful things that made us who we are today tomorrow. So we end up doing here poorly. So the question becomes, how do we do here well? If we're always only ever here and we generally do here poorly, how do we do here well? Paul wrote to a church at Philippi in the fourth chapter of his letter, in verses 6 and 7, this sort of big picture look at how to do here well. How to not be defined by that, or not be defined by what we hope happens here, but how to be here, how to do here really well. He says this: don't worry about anything here. Instead, pray about everything here. Tell God what you need here and for tomorrow, and thank him for what he has done when you were there. Then you will experience God's peace here, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus here. Let's break this apart and look at it phrase by phrase. The first phrase is this. It says, don't worry about anything. Oh, really? Useful. Thank you. This phrase, if you're getting grammatical, it's a present active imperative, grammatically speaking, which means present, it's here. Active, it means it's what you should do or not do. And imperative means it's a command. So this is Paul's way of saying, this is how you do here well. Don't worry about anything. Oh, okay. That's good. That's helpful. Actually, the word worry here is this word merimnao. And it comes from two Greek subwords, which is merimna, which means to rip or separate in opposite directions, and nos, which means the ability to think or to reason or to problem solve. And so this word worry, you got to see where it comes from. It comes from what happens when we take our ability to think and process and problem solve here, and we send half of it in an opposite direction. And so there's half in a healthy place and half in an unhealthy place. So we worry when we're here, and we send half of our ability to process and think and reason there. Or we're here, and we send half of our ability to process and reason and think there. This is what it means to worry. And he says, don't do it. He says, don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Don't marimanao. Don't send your half of your ability to do well, to do here well in opposite directions that aren't helpful anyway. So he gives you a present active imperative, and then he gives a comparative word, and then he gives another present active imperative. So he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. You'll see it here on the screen. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. So he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. At this point, you're like, everything? Everything. Paul, really? Everything? Everything. And you might be like, I don't really think of prayer that way, of telling God like everything. And my question to you would be, have you ever been in a long-term relationship or a marriage? Then you would know that every phone conversation is not created equally. Now, go with me here. So if you're in a marriage or a long-term relationship and you're very comfortable with each other, you've been together for a very long time, it might be you have no idea what just happened. They're getting a divorce. They're separating. It's cancer. Someone just passed. Or it might be you have no idea what just happened. So we need milk, right? It's on sale. Okay? I said it's on sale. Yeah, no, I got that. Is that it? I told you it's on sale. Yeah, okay, thank you. Is that okay? Thank you. Bye. Right? Because when you're in these relationships, the what rises to the level of conversation can be very small. It can be very big things. Very, very small things, these small check-ins throughout the day of like, oh, that conversation, or you will not believe what I just ran into, or you'll not believe what just happened, or you won't believe what the kids just did. Actually, I do believe because you just posted it and I saw it. And so what's funny is we don't feel like we can share everything with God, but we feel like we can share everything with everyone else. Like, I'm not even sure, like on social media and Instagram and Facebook, right? But he says literally pray about everything. Pray about big stuff. Pray about small stuff. Pray about what's going on. Pray about how you're feeling. Pray about why you're feeling that way. Pray about the thing that you want that you know isn't important or isn't part of God's plan for you, but pray about why that's what you want. If you have the thing that you live with this shadow or this monkey on your back because when you were there, that thing happened, pray about why you have that monkey on your back. Pray about why you feel that way. Pray about why that happened. Pray for the person who hurt you. Pray for all of these things. Like it says, pray, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And the thing that's going on here, when we worry, we have this temptation to worry. When we're constantly like sort of like wrestling with this sort of, I just want to worry. I want to worry about this thing. I feel like if I just process through and think about it and I worry. I think about what he's saying to do when he says pray about everything. He's not asking you to change the action. He's asking you to change the direction. He's asking you to worry at God. See, when you're here, and you're worried about there, or you're worried about there, and you're worrying, and you go through this cycle of worrying, and you get worked up, and you get emotional, and you go through the same experiences over and over again, you're worrying inward. And Paul says, no, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Worry at God. When you have that moment, we all get so worked up into all the feels, right? Don't worry inward. Worry at God. You worry at yourself and you can't do anything about it. You can't change the past. You can't be in the future. I said, you're here. You're always here. You're always only ever here. Why then do we feel like we have to worry at ourselves as if that's going to do any good anyway? Worry at God. And maybe that's not how you understand prayer, but maybe it should be. Like, we think of prayer as this thing that spiritual people do and monks do. And when monks do it, they sing their prayers in a monotone. And you'll get that one later too. And we don't think about prayer as just worrying at God. God, I am concerned. God, I am worried. God, you make me promises. God, I'm going to hold you to these promises. I have these worries. You don't understand my past. And you know, this is where I need to be in my life. When I get there, it's going to begin. Worry at God. Don't change the action, change the direction. Because honestly, you aren't the general manager of the universe. I know for many of you, that's news, right? Like, we approach life as if we're general manager of the entire universe, as if we hold on to the reins. If we white knuckle our way through life and if we yank the reins hard enough, we can make life bend to our will. But you can't. You're not general manager of the universe. So this is my invitation to you to resign from that position, to not worry. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And he keeps going. He goes on. He says this later on in the passage in Philippians 4. He says this. Then, if this, and this, by the way, this is an if-then statement. If you, this and this, then this will be true of you. If you don't worry about anything, instead, pray about everything. If you don't change the action, but change the direction. If you do here, well, then this will be true of you. Then you will experience God's peace. Has worrying ever brought you God's peace? I'm going to give you a second to think about that. Has worrying, holding on, white-knuckling the reins of life, has it ever brought you God's peace? If that doesn't get you where you want to be, then maybe we let go of the reins a little bit. Maybe instead of worrying at ourselves, we worry at God. We don't have to change the action. We change the direction. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, the word guard here is this word phroureia, phroureia. And it's this word drawn from conflict. It often refers to soldiers in a city or castle defending it from endangerments from without or within. And so it's this idea, there's like a walled city and there are soldiers on the outside and there's soldiers on the inside. And if any endangerment comes towards the city, then these soldiers are going to fight back whatever endangers the city. They're going to protect. They're going to go, they are here and they're stationed and they're ready, but they are ready to go on the offensive at any moment. See, what happens is we think that peace is this absence of conflict. We think of peace as, all right, there's moments of conflict and there's moments of peace. But in this verse, what he's saying is that God's peace will go on the offensive for you. That when you worry at God, when you say, I'm not going to worry, I'm going to instead pray about everything. When you worry at God, what he says is then you will experience my peace. And when you are here, and you're tempted to worry about there, or you're tempted to worry about there, my peace will go on the offensive for you. It will not only be the absence of conflict, it will fight back against those moments when you feel like you need to worry. Those moments when you feel like you need to take the reins back on life. Those moments when you feel like life is out of control and it's on you and you have to worry and you take your eyes off of God and you put them on the problem. Like this moment, that is the moment his peace goes on the offensive for you. And could anything ever sound more reassuring than that? If I stop worrying because it didn't do me any good anyway. And instead, I worry at God. I turn those worries into prayers. And I just talk to him. God, I don't understand. God, I'm confused. God, I'm hurt. God, I feel this. God. If we don't change the action, but we change the direction, he will give us his peace in our hearts and our minds. And that peace will go on the offensive for us. It won't allow us to go down the rabbit hole of if I could change something then, or man, I want to be here, but I know I can never be because of my past. And when we do this one if then statement, if we don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything, then his peace will go on the offensive and guard our hearts. And that is how you do hear well. There's this book, and it's called Wednesdays Were Pretty Normal. It's by a guy named Michael Kelly, and he wrote it when his two-year-old son Joshua was diagnosed with leukemia. And then he talks about worry. He says, I was a worried father, and I felt bad about that because Christians aren't supposed to worry. It's bad form. Jesus tells us not to worry about stuff like clothes or food because we have a foundation of trust in God as our provider. Paul elaborated on the Christian response to worry in Philippians 4:6. He says, don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. That doesn't mean I couldn't rationalize my own worry. After all, we had plenty to worry about. And one could make the argument that there's a thin line between being worried and being prepared, which sounds like something a worrywart would say, which sounds like something some of you guys would say. Don't responsibility and worry sort of hold hands? Shouldn't we plan for retirement? Shouldn't we have life insurance? Shouldn't we think about the future? Where do you draw the line between responsibility and worry? And while we're at it, why would God be so concerned about his kids' anxiety? When we live with a lack of worry about the future, even in the tightrope kind of times, we communicate the truth that our God is indeed worthy of our trust. We don't fret over the future because he holds it in his hands. We don't wring our hands in worry because we know he's charting the course. That sort of confidence invites others into it, those longing for something different from life without a net. So I ask you, what has worrying brought you? What has holding the reins with white-knuckled intensity brought you? Has it brought you God's peace? Has his peace gone on the offensive for you? And I ask you this week to take this one active, practical, functional step. That moment when you're beginning to feel overwhelmed by the fact you can't be there or there, the fact that you can always only ever be here. That moment when you're tempted to sort of dive headfirst into this sort of like quagmire of worry, I ask you, just give God's promise a chance. Don't aim the worry at yourself. Worry at God. He makes us promises. If we don't worry, but instead pray about everything, his peace will go on the offensive for us. And so I invite you this week to take that one functional, practical step. Don't worry at yourself. You can't do anything about it anyway. Worry at God. And like he says, you will then be living your life in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. God, I am thankful for all of your promises. You make us these promises that if we live our lives by them, that you will be faithful. And that you are a faithful God. Everything that you say is yes and amen. That we know that we can rely on your promises and we can build our lives on your promises. God, we have spent our lives up until now marked by worry and concern and white-knuckled intensity and trying to control and trying to timeline and trying to be the God of our own lives. And it hasn't brought us your peace. And so God, I ask you, in my heart, in my life, in my family's heart, in my family's life, in my church family's heart, in my church family's life. When we are tempted to worry this week, God, be in that moment. Remind us to worry at you, to just aim that worry at you, to worry at you, to worry in the form of prayer. Say, God, I am worried about things. God, I am this. God, I am this. Give us the ability, give us the wisdom, give us that reminder in that moment to give those things to you. And that is a beautiful and glorious and form of prayer that honors you. So God, if we do this, I ask that you do give us your peace, and that your peace will go on the offensive for us as we live in you. So I'm thankful for this passage. I'm thankful for the way that the Bible talks to us in very practical and tangible and functional ways. And I'm thankful that the Bible is not just some book thousands of years old. It doesn't make any sense today, but it makes sense today and tomorrow and the next day and the next. So we love you and thank you. In your name, amen.